Welcome to Epiphany Fellowship's podcast, where our goal is to see people everywhere show off the glory of Christ in every area of life. We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message and will allow the Word of God to dwell in you richly.
Ephesians chapter
2,
verse 19. Now, I'm committing preaching suicide because Pastor E just preached this a few Sundays ago. One, hands down, the man is brilliant, and so I don't know what I was thinking when I did this. But two, he also preached it on Resurrection Sunday, so, you know, you pull out all the stops on Resurrection Sunday. So I'm up for a challenge, but what I do believe is... that what he preached on that Sunday is a foundation for where we will find ourselves today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, 19 and 20 is where we'll be today. Just two verses. Let me read in your hearing. Follow along with your eyes. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, one more time. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're continuing on in our culture shifting series, but I want to tag this text for our exchange. This is going to be culture shifting worship, and then the sub topic would be the response of a beneficiary. The response of a beneficiary. Let's bow our heads to pray together, please. Lord, I call on you, hurry to my help. Lord, set up a guard for my mouth, keep watch at the door of my lips. Lord, I need your help as I ask for help as I prepared this sermon. I asked for help as I preached it this morning. I'm asking for your help again. Holy Spirit, have your way. Use me for your glory and for the good of your people. Hide me behind Calvary's cross so that we may see Christ high and lifted up and exalted above everything. And if somebody does not know who you are, I pray that they would turn from their own way of living. They would run to you. For in you, we find rest, we find peace, we find refuge. Father, use me, your servant. Give me clarity of speech, conviction of heart to tell the whole truth, because we know the truth sets us free and we want to be free people. Do what only you can do.
Yes.
I beg of you, Lord, to shift our hearts, shift our minds, so that we would walk every day of our lives in light of the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
And as we do that, we'll say yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes to your word. Whew. Yes to your spirit.
Yes.
Our souls say yes and amen. You may be seated. The beneficiary, the response of a beneficiary. I said before that Pastor E's sermon on Resurrection Sunday will really help us in where we are today. But I want to share something with you. There are two tribes in Africa that are a little unusual in the way they express thanks. One tribe in West Africa, they bow and put their foreheads to the ground, and they literally say, "My head is in the dirt." Another tribe, whose name we I don't know. They sit for a long period of time in front of a hut of the person in whom they wish to give thanks, and they literally say, "I sit on the ground before you." These African people understand well what thanksgiving is and why is it is difficult for us to express it. It is difficult for us to express because it goes against all of who we are. It goes against and it fights against our pride, fights against our will. It literally forces you to humble yourself to say thank you. And I wonder if we have this disposition to the very God who has given us breath, this type of, I will sit here and wait on you. I will sit here and give thanks to you. Do we have that type of disposition? Do we have the type of disposition that says, Lord, I will put my face to the ground because in this posture, I'm worshiping you. I am thanking you. Is this the disposition that we have? Or do we just live life being thankless Christians who just get by? I want to set this up because what Pastor E did a few weeks ago was literally walk through all of Ephesians. He started at chapter 1, you know, and he went all the way to chapter 6. And then he spent a lot of his time in chapter 5. Like, what you know already is that you have been saved. That's the knowledge that you have. You've been saved. And if you are not saved, hopefully by the end of this sermon, you would have seen Jesus high and lifted up and you would respond. But for those of us who already accepted him, you have been saved. But now that you're saved, there is a response that you have that you've been saved. All right, y'all taking a long time. All right, so this is also what I did. I put this microphone on my face because I'm gonna teach this thing. I can't promise you if I hoop or not at the end. I don't know, but how I set it up, we teaching today. All right. And so we literally get to a text where Paul is encouraging a response of God's people. Now that you've been saved, what is the response you have? Here it is in verse 19. It says, speaking to one another. Stop. Speaking to one another. Everybody say community.
Community.
Say congregational. This is what I'm laying out. I'm really, really, honestly laying out for you our mission and vision of the worship ministry. Why we do what we do Sunday after Sunday. So walk with us, because I think in our culture we worship a lot of things, and we wonder why our lives look the way they look. We actually put our heads down to a lot of things. We sit idly by in a lot of things, and we wonder why God hasn't blessed it. We wonder why we are in this position, really, because we are on the thrones of our hearts. We worship ourselves. We give thanksgiving to ourselves. But what's crazy is what we always push here is worship belongs to God. But when you come, you showed up today not to worship yourself. You didn't come because you are the fourth person in the triune God, which is oxymoronic, because if it's triune, somebody got to be out. But we act like that. We respond like that. We come in here and we sit with our arms folded during worship. We kind of wait and see who's singing today, what songs they gonna sing. I don't know if I like this song. This ain't one of my favorites. Do that one where y'all jump up and down and No, worship in the local church should be communal. It should be congregational. You ain't come here for me to jump around and you say, oh my gosh, he's so talented. And if you did, stop it. I am not a puppet. And nobody else up here is a puppet. We're not here for your enjoyment. No, when you came into this house, you had like-minded people who said, all glory belongs to God. And so now that I'm here, I'm going to give him what he rightfully deserves. What I want to do, I did it in first service, and I'll do it again here. What I want you to know is we are not here for your entertainment. And since we're recording, I'll also say, though you sit at home, we are not the movie, the TV show that you just watched before you turned us on. We are not here to entertain you. We are here for one. We are here to worship one true living God. It should be communal. So now that we got it out of the way, What our push is in this ministry is literally to help you see Jesus, behold his beauty through song. Now watch this. We're not hospitality. We're not going to sit you down. That's not our space. We're not going to be in the kitchen. We are not Good Eats. We're not going to watch your kids. It's not children's ministry. What we are here to do is cultivate a space of worship to the true living God. Now, some of y'all are asking, what are the benefits of me worshiping with somebody else? Y'all ask all the right questions. Look at y'all. So proud of y'all. Here it is. Here's one. It's one benefit is it's an awakening. It's an awakening. I like this one. It's, some of us today, me included, walked in here in a spiritual fog. Now, I'm explaining it in two different ways, right? The first way is there's a light fog, right? You came in here with the weight of your work life, with the kids. Some of us, we clocked out on Friday, and we carried it Saturday, Sunday, and then we right back on Monday like, oh, gosh. You feel the weight of work. Okay, that didn't get you. You feel the weight of life. You're weighed down. You're it's as if you are struggling to just breathe. I know I ain't here in here by myself. You feel that way. You feel like, man, what is this? Is life ever going to lend me a space where I can just freely go without feeling bound? Here's one. That's some of this might be a light fog. Light fog literally is if you just kind of move your hands, it'll kind of disappear for you to be able to see whatever's in front of you. I wonder if you actually came in here and whether you had a light fog or what I'll explain later as a heavy fog, what will happen if you came and made up your mind that I'll worship him? Regardless of whatever I came in here. Some of us don't even know what type of fog it is because we came in church and we've sat on our hands. But I wonder if there was somebody bold enough to say, man, I know I'm feeling what I feel right now, but I'll lift my hands. And when I lift my hands, that light fog just begins to move on out the way and I can see life for what it really is. I see that he's there and he's keeping me. I see that I got breath in my body. I see it. And all I had to do was just lift my hands. And when I lift my hands, he revealed himself to me. I wonder if we would have a church who would come in here and not be shy, but would lift their voices and thank him for making ways. I wonder, what would it be like if some of us would just free up and give God what he rightfully deserves? We would see that it's just a light fog. It can be moved. It's a light fog. But watch this. There's also what I've experienced just coming in here today and this week, a heavy fog. Heavy fog is when, though you have been doing the moving of the hands, it just seems like nothing is getting better. It feels like I just can't make it in this life because the fog has blinded me from whatever is standing in front of me. And I would say to you, don't stop moving. Because this is how powerful your God is. Though the fog might not move, God is still strong enough to come into the fog and be with you while it's still heavy. Watch this. The light fog is when you brush it and you see that he's standing there. But your God's not limited to being there. Your God is strong enough to say, I don't care what type of fog it is, even if I'm out there, if you call out to me, I can meet you in the place where you are, and I'll lift up your head and you'll give thanks to him because he is good. I wonder if there's anybody in the house who can worship him no matter the fog. So here it is. No matter what you are going through, child of God, no matter, stop trying to assess the fog. That's the wrong thing to be focused about. If you lift your hands, if you worship him, either he'll remove the fog to reveal himself, or he'll step into the fog. But watch this. This is what communal worship does. Because you don't know what somebody else walked in here with. Some verses can say, speak to yourself among others. This is still beautiful because if you went that route, some scholars say if you go this route, even if we're together and I decide to speak to myself, the person next to me will be able to hear me. And so just by proximity, I'll be able to hear it and say, God brought you through that. And you're sitting there, you're talking to yourself and you're saying, man, I'm weighed down. But you hear your other neighbor say, man, Lord, I remember when my eyes were blind, but yet you opened my eyes and now I can see. And then something in you says, if I heard it from this person and I hear it from my neighbor on this side, oh God, if you could do it for them, surely you can do it for me. And I wish I had somebody in the house who would shame the devil and give God his praise because you've made it through stuff that people died from. And he's sustaining your very life. Let the redeemed of the Lord. That's why we come, saints. It's congregational. We ain't gonna sing songs as if we're some soloists. I already know there's a million people who can sing circles around me. But I know what I'm here for. I ain't here to be a one-trick pony. I'm here to stir your affections for Jesus. And as long as God gives me the ability to worship him, and anybody else who comes up here, What we will push is God will be glorified. The enemy will be horrified. And the people will be edified. I got to move. Lord have mercy. I'm on the first one. Calm down, man. It's a... Thank you, Pastor Kurt. Bishop ain't say it, so I'm going to keep moving. It's not just awakening, but it's also assurance. When you come into God's house, there is a feel of, man, I'm not in this by myself. I don't know about y'all, but I sometimes like being by myself. But when I'm experiencing something very difficult, I don't want you to be like back up off me. No. You best to help be around me. Because watch this. Many of us will isolate ourselves and we create scenarios in our minds that's not reality. I'm talking truth to you. We listen, a lot of us literally live life in isolation and we're wondering why God is not honoring or even showing us something different because we created something and we've become stuck. God is saying, get with God's people, get with my people. I never saved you to be alone. Watch it. Even at the beginning of time, he never said one person will carry out everything. He said to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. Sin entered the world through them two. Dag nabbit. Upset. But what does he do? He selects a group of people. You think that was by accident? No, he selects a group of people. Even though they turn their backs on him, he still says, I'm dedicated to this group, not just one individual. Now, he uses one individual to bring the group back to him. But he still says, I'm more interested in y'all being with me. That's why I'll give the warming one who can satisfy my wrath. That's why. But he says, I'll bring you to each other. And so what we have to see that our worship does when we come in here and we worship God, we lift our hands, we testify, what we are doing is we are being communal because we don't know who we are helping. Do you really believe God gave you that testimony for you to remain silent? Yes, you know what he delivered you from. Now, do you got time to tell everything? No. Because some of y'all got some long stories. But what you do have time to do is build with one another to help somebody who may be going through that same thing. It's good, one, because it awakens what seems foggy. It also assures that you're not the only one, but it also propels you, it advances you. Because now that you see that you're not the only one, you can now say, man, I can wake up today. Or matter of fact, I woke up today. My eyes open. And any moment that my eyes open is the reality that God is being faithful to me. And when you know he's been faithful to you, you will say, this is the day that you, Lord, have made. And my response is to rejoice and be glad in it. Your fog might be heavy, but he still calls you to rejoice. Okay. Not only that, this is the hard one. When you come into worship, you have to accept another's leadership. All right. When you come into congregational worship, you're accepting one's leadership. I'm going to just say it the way I wrote it on here. Some of us don't know how to follow. That's why you got so many people with all these businesses, no LLC, and then they shut them down. Because what they didn't want was to be held accountable to somebody else. What they didn't want was somebody to tell them that they need to be on time for work. I know I'm in the house. And if you got your business and you don't got an LLC, go get the legal paperwork, y'all. Stop doing that. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Selling all this merch. You ain't pay no taxes, no nothing. Let me tell you something. Some people can get away with that. You can. We obviously see some people get away with it. Anyway, never mind. Let me just back to my sermon. Whew, Lord. But literally, like we have bad work ethic. It's just bad. But watch this. When you come into a corporate gathering, what you're doing is saying, man, the preach word, I have to listen. I actually have to humble myself. Listen to what the preacher is saying. Take heed, go home, and apply it. Then, if I'm in community, you know your people ain't going to let you fly by. You, like, man, hey, did you, you said you was going to go do that? Did you do it? Did you do it? No, I don't want to hear how you make, no more excuse. Did you do it? You're submitting yourself to somebody saying, hey, let's take a second and let's lift our hands. Let's take a moment and let's repeat that verse over. Let's take a second. Stop the music. Let's let God hear your voice. Let's not hide anymore. That, like, you're submitting yourself to the leadership of whoever is standing up here. That's what happens. That's a benefit. Because you know how it is to actually follow. Why do you need to know how to follow? Jesus had disciples, followers of God. What makes you think you, who has written no book in the Bible, you who just has the everyday life, what makes you think you don't have to submit to someone else? Okay, watch this. For all the single people, here it is. You ready? If you can't follow now, when you get married, I'm not just talking about women. I'm talking about, it's a mutual submission. The married people, they understand what I'm saying. If I come in the house and I'm in a fog, I'm going to need my wife to step up and say, hey, the Lord, he allowed you to see today. What am I going to say? I don't want away with you. Off with your head. No. I need to take in what she said and apply it to my heart. Yes, he actually did allow me to see today. I went to work. We had a car to drive. I walked this dog at 5 a.m. I'm tired. But there's a mutual submission there. I can't dismiss what she's saying. So even if you go into a marriage thinking you about to run everything. Don't even bother. And all the married people said, yeah. Amen. Jeez, you asking for trouble. Anyway, last, I gotta move. You get joy when you gather together. you watch this. Sometimes when we come in and we're looking for the Lord to reveal something or a blessing or all those type, you know, we use all the words, right? Or the graces of God. Sometimes when we come in here and we're waited, we don't, again, we create a scenario in our mind, and so we we kind of play on that thing. Man, Lord, it's not good to me. But then when you hear from people how God's been good to you, what you start to realize is the blessing was in something you already had, not in something new. That's a hard thing, because a lot of us want the new blessing, but we don't look at what God has already provided as a blessing. Some of us got blessing on blessing on blessing, and we haven't taken the time to thank God for the blessing that we already have. Stop asking God for new stuff. Thank God that you opened your eyes, that you got the house, you got the car, you got, and it might not be the car that you actually like, but it's the car that got you to work, that got you. Tell me, you need to thank God for what you have. Stop asking him for other things. Because watch this, when you ask him for other things without even thanking him for what you already have, that's bad stewardship. Many of us are asking God, bless me, Lord, use me, do it, please. And he's like, you haven't even stewarded what I've given you already. You haven't invested in your spouse. You haven't invested in your kids. You haven't even been on time for work. You haven't even put gas in your car. And that's why the engine is rocking and knocking and all that. It's you. You are a bad steward. I'm not giving you that brand new car so you can jack that up too. Thank me for what you already have. You'll find that the joys that you so long for are already there. I gotta move. Next part, it says, what do you say to one another? What are you speaking to one another? You're speaking psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music. Yeah. So the first one is communal. The second one is compelling. Yeah. Worship should be compelling. You shouldn't come in here and be like, man, they really stink up there. Now, everybody has bad days. But one of the things, when I came into this role and I was singing more, one of the things the Lord convicted me about was how I was stewarding my gift. So I invest in my voice. Right? Stuff costs money. Them little humidifiers and all them things, and I feel like I'm buying bags of Ricola every other week, right? I'm studying currently. Jared is helping me learn how to play keys. Not so I can play on Sunday morning, because I'm not doing that. That's why he's here. Thank you, Jared. No, it's to help me understand what I'm actually singing. Like I want to study my craft. I want to grow in what God. I want it to be to where it comes up here, and still, even though I might grow in my vocal ability, I still want to be able to say it's all Him. Yes. What I did it for was to show that, Lord, I want to be a good steward in where I am. And if I'm not here forever, that's fine. But where I am today, how do I steward what you have given to me? But also, that's why we're here on Thursdays, rehearsing for long hours. Because we believe that there should be a sound that is pleasing to God's ear and yours. Y'all laughing. Some of us been in churches. And the deacon just got up and he's like, you like, please stop. Can we get Sister So-and-so to do that one solo that she always do and she wrecks the house? Please, just give it to her. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. But we want to grow in that. You do know that anybody who's up here, both worshiper, preacher, we can be an extreme encouragement to the body of Christ. But we also can be extreme discouragement too. And so what we see and what we say and what we do based off of that simple idea that, Lord, you can use me in a powerful way to help your people see you in the way you're supposed to be seen, or I could come up here and be a noisy gong. And watch this. It being compelling is not just vocal ability. It's also the character that you have outside of the pulpit. Oh, listen, listen. We're going to have character and competency up here. Because watch this. If your ability is only going to carry you but so far. Because when people start getting to know who you are, they're going to be like, oh my gosh. Listen. It's everywhere. The gospel industry has them too. And they sing down. But their character is not it. Watch this. If the Epiphany Fellowship worship team goes absolutely nowhere, we will grow in our character and in our competency. If an album never comes from this stage and this place, we will still point you to Jesus. But it should be compelling. You should want to enjoy it. You should want to come into a space. Watch this. When you see Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, all these words are really Paul saying them over and over again. They're the same thing, but he's kind of arguing the point. Like your worship should have these things, but you can define these terms separately. Here's how it goes. Psalms is literally defined as sacred songs. Hymns are defined as musical compositions. It's the skill. It's the guitar being played. It's the keys being on that one chord. It's the cymbals being crashed. Y'all don't even know half the things that go on over there, but you just like, I love it here. But that's time spent. That's hours and hours of them investing in their craft. We do that so that we're not a distraction to your worship experience, but an encouragement to see Jesus. Notice what Paul says, though, after that. He doesn't just say songs. He says spiritual songs. Why does he say spiritual songs? He says spiritual songs because they would have been familiar with Beyonce going outside of her genre and then doing a whole album, country album, and then they would know every song on the album. They would have. They would have been singing them. The kids would have been, I don't even know any of the songs, I'm trying to think of something, but they would have been scooting down the street in their sandals, dust flying everywhere. Singing Beyonce. They also would have known the beef between Drake and Kendrick. They would have knew all the bars. Oh, when he said this, he was destroying his mom's birth home, and then he took the aunts. They would have knew all that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They also would have knew that Taylor Swift is taking over everything. I don't want to know how you feel about that. Just, I'm going to leave it at that. They would have known and they would have been singing these songs. But Paul says, I know what that is. I know what those songs sound like. But you should have a spiritual song. Now, why does he say this? Because, Pastor, he talked about a few weeks ago, he said that don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a distinction of not being drunk, but being. So he says, I'm going to also make a distinction here. It shouldn't just be any song. It should be a spiritual song. Because if I've redeemed you, why are you doing the same thing I redeemed you from? Why are you trying to go back to the thing that I've saved you from and rescued you from? Why are you still trying to sing the same song that you were singing to the shorty underneath the moonlight and the stars? Some of them songs still work. Either way. But I've given you a new song. I want this song to be different than any other song. That's why I love songs, the hymns. I talked about fogs earlier, and I talked about how, you know, right now, I've accepted that my life is the thick fog. It just is. It just is. I've experienced the loss of 4 kids, and, you know, God was, he sustained me through it, but this is just, me losing my dad is rocking me. And I'm not apologizing for where I am. I'm not going to rush past any of it. You know, I didn't found a new therapist on Thursday. We're going to work through all this stuff. We're going to do, listen, I said, you got to help your boy. But before I got to the therapist on Thursday, I have one of my favorite hymns in my office. And it's It Is Well. You know, it's some songs like that that just get you, that just pick up your spirit. You know, I love the songs, come on in, come on. We all jumping around and spinning and doing certain, well, that's just me. Anyway, I like all that. But it's sometimes I just want to hear, you know, In Christ Alone with all the verses. Or So Will I. If you ever sung So Will I, you know. You bet. If that confidence monitor is not on, you better remember every single verse. Because none of them are the same. Whoever wrote that, God bless them. They was in the upper room when that song came out. Because I was like, how did you think of that? It's a lot of words. But you know, some of us grew up Baptist, right? And so, you know, we got the hymnal. And we was going to sing what? The first, second, and fourth. That third verse ain't getting no love from the Baptist people. They was like, away with the third verse. I was like, that's the richest verse. Let's sing that one. Right? Then they start thinking about time. Oh yeah, we gotta go. It's time to go. But no, I looked at it and as I was reflecting on my dad's life, I had to read the words like when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Some of y'all stop right there. Y'all got the quickening and all that. But I like the second verse. It says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, and then I had to get to the rest of the verse. It says, oh, Lord, hasten the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back like a scroll. The trumpet will sound. And the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my. Sometimes, listen, Beyonce ain't going to catch you up. Ain't going to get you all excited. Sometimes you need to go back and find some songs that are straight from Scripture. God is near to the brokenhearted. And what is it saying? It's going to be well because I am with you. I'm telling you, some of these new songs, new artists, they ain't got it. We're going to be as relevant as we want to be. But we will not lack substance of what God has already said. We will not compromise to do your favorite hook and your favorite verse. Listen, if trap music is the only thing you want to hear on a Sunday morning, go somewhere else. Because that cannot take over you experiencing Christ. If a trap beat gets you in a different mindset, then we got to stop it. Because you came here to see Jesus. And if you came for any other reason, sorry boo-boo, but I ain't got nothing for you. Why? Because he and he alone is worthy to be praised. We are not your entertainment. We are not the concert. And we might have those. Even our worship nights ain't even, like, we're singing so that people can, whether it's on Sunday, Thursday, Monday, to whatever day, what we will do is point you to the one who is worthy all the time, every time, for everything. I got to move. This is exactly where I stopped the last time. Dang it. All right, I'm not going to get to the rest of the sermon. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing. It's my favorite part. Making music. The word here in the original language is solo. Solo. Everybody say solo. Solo. P-S-A-L-L-O. Solo. It's like the Psalms, the P is silent. Just ignore it. Okay? Solo. But solo means to sing praise. It means to sing praise. Y'all can put that up there. It means to sing praise. But it also means to pluck off, to pull out. I'll rush to it. What we believe our role is in the church as worship leaders, but you as worshipers, is to remove the barriers that hold you down from experiencing Jesus. And so today, what you look at is the new name for the worship ministry at Epiphany Fellowship. And here's why. Here's why. It's because we believe that this field is literally a war zone. You thought you just came in here to hear a word, shake people's hand, and leave? No, you're waging war. And any moment we get to help you see Jesus, to pluck off, to pull out, we will do it because our goal is for you to experience Jesus for who he is. Yes, yes, yes. And so if you came in here with a fog, just lift your hands. If you came in here with a fog that is too heavy for you, what I pray that you experience when you come into this building is God meeting you in the place that you are. And you can say, Lord, though it hasn't changed, I'll still worship you. Friends, this, once again, is not for your entertainment. We came here for a reason, and that is to worship the true and living God. Scripture says, not to us, not to us, O Lord, but to your great name. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so, as long as God gives me grace to lead these people in worship, our goal is for whatever you walked in with, even if it doesn't change, to always point you to Jesus. For he is the author and finisher of our faith. He did not save you to remain the same. He set you apart and he says, I want you to now testify of what I've delivered you from. And he wants you to do it with your heart to the Lord. What does it literally mean? It means all of you. He wants your mind in worship. Some of us come in here, and I'm a thinker. I'm like, as I'm preaching, I'm thinking about what we're going to eat at home. I'm thinking about the week. I'm thinking about all, I already know. And a lot of times, I'm thinking so much that I'm missing my experience of who God is. Our job as worshipers is to stir one another's affections for the one who has saved our souls. We came to pluck off, to pull up. So my prayer today, I got a lot more to do, but my prayer today is that whenever you walk in here, with whatever you walk in here with, that God would meet you. I say this often to the team, that it's a beautiful thing when I'm weighed down, but I make the choice to say, Lord, I pray that you would meet me in my moment of weakness. How much more encouraging would it be to somebody who just comes and needs to receive what God is saying to them? When we stand up here broken and hurt, but we allow God to meet us in the moment. How beautiful is it when we share what God has delivered us from, brought us through, is keeping us in, but yet he is with us. How beautiful. How many people would come to know Jesus because you shared your life with them? My prayer for you today is as Simon, and we thank you, Simon, for coming through. We appreciate you. As Simon sung today, as the worship team sang, I pray that some of the things you walked in with were plucked up, were pulled out, so that you can see the beauty of Christ and who he has said he is. I pray that as you live life, as you go through the week, as you go through the motions, that God will meet you in your weekday with a song. Amen. I pray that you would invest in not just selling for any song, but you would settle for a new song. A song that is different than what the world sings. I pray that God would give you the grace to run this race of life with endurance. Because at every moment, he's worthy to be praised, and he's keeping you at every station and season of your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a very present help in the time of trouble. But you're not limited to trouble. You are a very present help in any time. And so, Lord, whether my brothers and sisters are on the mountaintop or they're in the valley, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them. But I pray that they wouldn't stay stagnant, they wouldn't just sit there, but that they would worship you. That they wouldn't take the glory for themselves. Lord, I pray for the bowed down head, for the one who feels crushed in spirit, that you would reveal yourself to them, that you would give them the grace to run this life with endurance, that they would do the hard thing of exposing themselves to the people that they are called to, that community would be built through this, that worship, we would grow in our worship of our God. We would not be ashamed to proclaim his goodness and his care to our hearts, but also to the world. Father, be gracious, I pray. As we do a rebrand, as we lay the foundation of what this worship ministry is, what worship is, not just at Epiphany Fellowship, but what it is in our lives, I pray that whatever we put our hand to, you will blow on it. As long as we keep it Christ-centered, as long as we keep it congregational, as long as we keep it compelling, as long as we are committed to you and you alone, I pray that you would use this ministry for your glory. Not so we can boast in the ministry, but we will boast ever the more in the God who has kept us. Father, be with us. Give your people what they need. Pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and every glad heart said, amen.
Hello, this is Dr. Eric Mason, founder and pastor of Epiphany Fellowship. Thank you for tuning in today. Hopefully the word of God was a blessing to you. Also, if you want to help us build the kingdom from Philly and beyond, particularly in inner cities, partner with us today. And if you don't know Jesus as Savior, based on his death, burial, and resurrection, place your confidence in him and go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Tune in next time so we can see you go from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. God bless you. Take care. We love you. We love you. We love you.